Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The last Bible verse I want us to read before we study more about prayer is 1 John chapter 5. This is one of my favorite Bible verses on prayer. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So today, while I was preparing for this topic on prayer, I was thinking about a lot of things that I have learned about prayer over the years. We all know how key prayer is. So I went to the dictionary to go and get some definitions of prayer. The dictionary defines prayer as a solemn request for help or expression of thanks to God. One thing I think we can all agree on is that everybody prays. Every religion prays. The Muslims, they pray. The Hindus pray. I have many Indian friends and I've seen them pray to different gods. They all have like maybe like 100 gods and they pray to each one for one particular thing. If it's money, they have the gods, they go ask for money. If it's visa, they have the gods, they go ask for visa. But one thing that is common to almost all religions is prayer. Prayer is therefore key. So what makes us different from everybody else that prays? 1 minute, please. Okay, so what makes us key from every other religion that prays? These are some of the things that as I was doing my study, I came up with. For those that just came in, the topic of our Bible study today is prayer, and I read a couple of verses already. So what are some of the things that makes the Christian different from every other religion that prays? First, for us, prayer is communication. We all know that for those that are married and for those that are in any other kind of relationship, if you are not communicating with the person, there is no relationship. The relationship is non-existent. You have to be communicating. Husbands and wives are always communicating. Fathers and their children, you know, mothers and daughters, everybody communicates. That's how you build a relationship. If you don't know what's on the person's mind, you can't be guessing. So communication is key. It's a way of communicating between man and God. Prayer is how we build our relationship with God, our Father. There is no other way to build a relationship with God. If you are not praying, you don't have a relationship with God. And it's a constant thing. Just like you will not say, oh, I've talked to my wife this morning, so tomorrow I will not talk to her. You cannot say, oh, I've prayed to God this morning, tomorrow there is no need. Or I've prayed to God at the beginning of this week, there is no need for the rest of the week. If you can't do that to your spouse, you can't do that with God. Prayer has to be constant. Constant. The second thing about the Christian, the way we pray, is prayer is where our power is. I read something online today and it said, as oxygen is to a human being, that's what prayer is to a Christian. You cannot exist as a Christian without prayer. You might as well not be a Christian. Our prayer life is very, very important. John Wesley said, God will do nothing without prayer and everything with it. I don't know if you guys know who John Wesley is, but he was one of the guest revivalists. And he said, God will do nothing. He will not do a single thing if we don't pray, but he will do everything if we do pray, if we lift up our voices in prayer. Even God himself says that if we pray, If my people who are called by my name, we all know that popular verse, will pray, then he will answer from heaven. So he encourages us to seek his face. Another thing is, for us Christians, we pray God's will. Now, I have many Indian friends, like I mentioned. They pray for all kinds of things, but they don't know why or what they are praying for, or even who they are praying to. They just pray, and they are, and they, you know, it's like lottery system. But we must pray the will of God. If you think about Jesus, Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." 1 John chapter 5 from verse 14-15 says that if we ask accordance to his will, we know that he hears us. There is no doubt that once you are asking in accordance to God's will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know we have whatever we have asked on him, of him. The Matthew chapter 6 says that we should pray that let it be on earth as it is in heaven. That's praying God's will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to pray God's will. That's how we are staying in communication with him. The fourth thing is, we pray God's word, which is similar to the first one, because God's will is God's name. God's will is God's word. If we go in prayer and we are praying, you know, amiss, we will not get what we want from God. But there is nothing that, there is no desire, there is no good desire that there is no, there is an, that we can't find an answer for in the Bible. So the first thing we must do when we want to pray is seek God's face in the Bible, in his word, and then come to him in prayer with that word. In one of them, I mean, I think it's Hosea, he says, "Come to me with words." He's referring to his word. "Come to me." He says, "Put me in remembrance. Remind me of what I have said to you in my word." And when you come to God with those words, that's when your prayer will be effective. Number five, prayer is not a ritual. For most of us, even in the Christian faith, sometimes we make prayer into a ritual. Oh, pray at 6:30 a.m. only. Or pray at, you know, 5 p.m. only. That's when the heavens are open. There is no such thing in the Bible. Or you make prayer into something that it's no more about a conversation between you and your father. It becomes routine. I was listening to Andrew Womack. He said, as a young Christian, when he was praying, that he used to hate it, because he said in his life that he had said that he would pray every day for 3 hours, you know, to before he started his ministry. And he said he started dreading that time because he was like, oh God, 3 hours, that time is coming. I'll come and pray for 3 hours. And one day he said, "I just want to confess, Lord, that I really dread this time of prayer." And that God answered him, said, "It's not only you, me too, I dread it, because you just come and you just say the same thing over and over again, and I'm tired. I really don't want to be there with you." And then that's when his prayer life changed. Prayer cannot be a ritual. It must be a time of coming to God, letting him speak to you as you speak to him, hear from him, listen. It's back and forth. If, you know, in a marriage, for instance, I'm using marriage because Jesus is our bridegroom. In a marriage, the husband is the only one talking. The wife will be like, okay, you know, it doesn't work that way. Or if it's only the woman talking, they'll say we are nagging, Abby. So we can't just go to God and say, "Father, you must do this, you must do that." Sometimes you just sit at his feet. And that's where the Bible says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High." That is the secret place, the place of prayer. He will lead you. He will show you where to go. And then the other thing I want to say is, corporate prayer. We all know the power of corporate prayer. Corporate prayer is amazing. I encourage everybody to please engage in corporate prayer, prayer retreat. But there is nothing like secret prayer. Jesus himself said, when you pray, go into your closet. And your father that sees you in the secret, he will reward you in the open. There are many times in the Bible where it says Jesus went by himself to go and pray and seek his father's face. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, where we read from, the Bible says that he told his disciples to wait. He took the three, four most important ones with him. And even those ones, he told them to wait by one side. Then he went by himself to his father. We must all have our own personal time of prayer and conversation with the father. Our 6:30 a.m. is great. Our 9 p.m. is great. Our faith clinic is great. But we must each have some personal time with God if we want to see power in our lives. If we think about Elijah, the Bible says that Elijah, after he had told the king, rain is going to fall, the Bible says that he went up by himself. He told the king to go and eat and drink, but he went up the mountain and he prayed. He sought the face of the Lord in prayer. The same thing with Hannah. It was when Hannah went to the secret place that she got her miracle. Same with Jesus. we have to follow this method of prayer, secret place prayer. It's important. It's how we travel in prayer. And that's where God reveals himself to us. He reveals his heart to us. Corporate prayer is great, but there's nothing like personal time with the Lord. Prayer, the last thing I wanted to share was that prayer builds our faith. We all want to be powerful men and women of faith. It takes work. And that work is prayer and, of course, studying God's word. If we don't find God in the place of prayer, we cannot come out here and heal the sick. Our daddy Adeboye, I don't know how long he spends in prayer, but I'm sure it is quite a bit of time that he spends in prayer. All these men of God, some examples I wrote down. Charles Finney, he was one of the most powerful evangelists in the 1900s. They said one time he went to Rochester. He didn't even get down from the train. The train just stopped in Rochester. They were going to, you know how the train stops and people get on and get off. They just stopped for like 10 minutes. And people in the town of Rochester started speaking in tongues, both the saved and the unsaved, just because he was on the train and he was in Rochester. And they said every day, from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m., he prays without fail, 4 hours in prayer in the morning. Of course, that's the result of men like that. The same thing with people like D.L. Moody. Same thing with people like Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth, they said he never went an hour without praying. Every hour he must pray. It might be 5 minutes prayer, but he will pray. Every hour he was always praying. If you read all the things that Smith Wigglesworth, God used him to do, healing the sick, raising the dead, all kinds of amazing things that we have not seen. Same thing with Kenneth Hagin. I remember Joseph Ayo Babalola, that one time he told his people, let's pray, and he closed his eyes. But from the time he said, let's pray, to the time he opened his eyes, it was 3 days later. When he opened his eyes, there was nobody there. Everybody had gone to the house because he started praying, and 3 days later, he was still there. 3 days, he was still praying from in Jesus' name to amen. It was 3 days. And we all hear of what Joseph Ayo Babalola did. He's the reason for the Redeemed Christian Church of God. That is where the foundation of our churches came from, the evangelism, the Pentecostalism of Nigeria. That's the root. But that was because that man spent time in prayer. Men like that, all those men that have come and gone, our Pa Akindayomi, all those people, they spent time in prayer. That the Gio, to give the example, when Pa Akindayomi came to his house, He was there forever in prayer. And that is that whoever would take over from this man is on his own. You know, and he didn't know that it was him that would take over from Pa Akindayomi. Prayer is key to our life. It's key for us to be able to do all that God has called us to do. If we want revival, if we want all those miracles that the apostles, that D.L. Moody, Kenneth Hagin, all of those people, God was using them to perform, we have to go back to prayer. Not just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, but good time in prayer, traveling in prayer. I also wanted to share Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 10, as an encouragement to us as we pray. Luke 11, verse 9 to 10. This is Jesus speaking, and he said, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how much to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I just wanted to use that to encourage us to seek God in prayer and prevail in prayer. Jesus said, ask. Ask, for instance, Joy can go to mommy. Mommy, I need allowance. Ask. That's simple. Ask. Seek is when she starts to say, you have not given me allowance. So where's your bag? She's seeking. She's pressing in. Knock when the money has not come out after 2 days. And she starts to cry. She's knocking on that door. And it must be opened. So there are different degrees to the prayers that we pray. Sometimes it's just a simple ask. Sometimes we have to seek and we'll find. Sometimes it is knocking. But let us not give up, because our Father is a good Father and it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So that's where I will stop for contribution. Any contribution? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you very much, ma. May God bless you.
Amen.
And I pray that you will not fail.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We are talking about prayer. And believe it or not, ma, you have said it all. There is nothing we can do in life. There is nothing we want to achieve in life that does not need prayer. I just want to add to you that, just like you said, ma'am, it's not just the idea of praying alone. It's the idea of also waiting for God to speak to you. The problem we have in this kingdom, particularly those of us here, is because of the way America is designed. We are quick in everything. Maybe because of our place of work. Maybe because we have to go to one place or the other. We don't spend enough time to hear from God. And when you notice leaders, pastors, that you can see that they are doing great to an extent, you will search their life. And you will see that when it comes to the place of prayer, they are not joking. They spend quality of time. I know that my wife gave a testimony here. You know, it has been a battle between myself and her about me going back to school to do master's program. And I keep telling her, no, I'm not ready. But one thing I never stopped doing was that I kept committing it into the hands of God. I know what it means. I know what it's going to cost. And I'm not interested in taking any loan. She took loan and she's still battling with the loan. And finally, I heard the word that, go ahead. And to my greatest surprise, the first day I went there, they told me, by the way, we are doing a new program. I'm saying, what is it that you are doing? If you are an old student, we are giving you a scholarship of 2,950. So how much is the total program now? They said it's 5,000. So I calculated, if you say 5,000 and you take 2,950 out, how much is left? I said, this is when I'm supposed to be there. And I called her. I said, you see why I'm, this is now. Because where you want me to find 5,000 from, I don't know. So prayer is very key. Not only does prayer alone, like you said, and I'm repeating that, patient in hearing from God. We don't do that. We are such in a nation that everything, if care is not taken, is microwave. Our pastor said to us on Saturday that part of what is needed for this particular Connecticut area to be able to move forward is prayer. Which, you know, because of time, we were there. A lot of our pastors who came to lead us, as soon as they were done with their own section, they were just carrying their bag. Yeah, even the man that was, the man led the prayer, one of our pastors, at the time they were still saying, can we pray for the man of God? He had gone! He had gone! So you can imagine how much time he was watching, like, my time. Oh, yeah, move to the next corner. Move to the next leader. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
We cannot do anything without prayer. Amen. We cannot do it. The man of God that was with us this time last Tuesday, I was asking him, I said, my brother, I said, I know and people have been saying it. It's not that I'm doubting, though, but let me ask you a question. Is it true that daddy walks around the camp? He started laughing. He said, sir, ask me where he's getting the strength from. I don't know. He said, daddy will leave the house at the dawn of day. Every single night. The next time you will see him is 5 in the morning. So he said one day, he asked himself, he said, I want to see what this man that walks around. He said he decided to do CID. He said he started following daddy. He said when he saw daddy kept going deep inside the camp, going deep, not with the torch, not stopping. He said he started watching his time. He said, sir, when it was 1:30, I said, carry go, Baba, and go back to my house. He said, so I can't compare myself with him. And he said it's a routine every day. And he said, then when you see him during the day, you will not believe that's the man that will walk in camp at that time of the day. So we need it. We cannot deceive ourselves. That's why this is happening, that is happening. It takes work. My prayer is that God will give us the grace to be able to seek his faith so that which we are trusting God for, whether in the church of God, whether in our own life, the Lord will be able to do unto us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Every time when we talk about prayer, do you know the greatest prayer warrior in the Bible?
Jesus.
The one who wrote 150 Psalms.
Oh.
From the beginning to that end, you will know. No wonder God calling a man after my own heart. Check out what David wrote down in Psalms. They were prayers. If you look at Psalm 5, I think 5, and then we take it from verse 2. Psalm 5, verse 2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry,
my King
and my God. For unto thee will I do what?
Pray.
So you will see that, in fact, he prayed to an extent that all his prayers were arranged in form of poems. And that's how we have 150 Psalms. This is a prayer warrior who battled. if you want to know how powerful, some people, they run for that Psalm, Psalm 35. Go and look at the word of Psalm 35. You are not strong. You first of all say, hey, before I start to pray this thing, I have to clean up myself. He prayed to an extent that there was communication between him and God. And in fact, in his prayer, God was revealing what would come out of his bowel as the Son of God. And he was saying, hey, when he talked about my Lord will not see corruption. Who do we think he was referring to?
Jesus.
It wasn't himself, Jesus Christ. That's the extent of prayer. That is the extent he had done. That is the communication, the relationship between him and God, that the Holy Spirit was speaking through him. Because when you pray to an extent, and our Father in the Lord said one about that hotel in Oklahoma. They were there. They prayed to a certain scale. The whole building was vibrating. What happened? After everybody left that hotel, they closed down that hotel. It was after he went back officing that they had to open. That is the extent of communication. But you can't do all this. Yes, it's good to pray. You know, some people can fire prayer. They know how to do this thing. But if just like what we had the last time when we went to that prayer retreat, if your heart is not in right something with God, you're just wasting time. Pray. Prayer is good. But are you praying to the one that has connection with you? We had talked about it before. If you start that fan and it was running, you pull out the plug, it will still be going, right? It's just like wasting of time. Prayer is good, but you must follow all other conditions to really make prayer work. And that's why Jesus Christ told his disciples, he said, you cannot do this except by what? Prayer and fasting. That is, you have to get yourself prepared. And in fact, in Old Testament, there was a place where they talked about guard your loins. Meaning of guarding your loins is that be prepared, you know, in everything. And again, in the New Testament, we were told to put on the whole armor of God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I think it is important for us to understand what we are up against as Christians. And our walk with God is not a bread and butter thing. And it is not jamboree. It's not like, you know, kind of wayfaring, reckless kind of life. It's a serious matter, a matter of life and death. Now, because there is somebody who is up in arms against us, trying to fight against the will of God to be done in our life. The Bible describes him as the prince of the God of the air. And who are we talking about?
Satan.
And I'm not saying this for us to become too overconscious of him, because one thing we have to have at the back of our mind, Jesus has already made us a conqueror. He has finished that battle. And whatever part we are playing, we're only just enforcing what Jesus has already done. And that the Lord made mention of the armor of God, and Ephesians chapter 6 made mention of that. And when the Bible is trying to make us to understand, you know, when you see people attack you, when you see things are not going on well with you, and you see things just happen unnecessarily, the Bible says, look, know one thing, you're not up against flesh and blood. It is not that man you see in your office trying to upstage you. There's somebody behind him. It is not that person who planned that thing. There's somebody behind him. There's something, there's a power. And the Bible went ahead to describe there are different levels which we are all against. And there's a need for us to be able to win in this fight. For us to be able to stand at the end, if you go down that verse, you know, verse, I think 13, it says, having done everything for us to stand. If we want to have a good standing with God, we have to put on the whole armor and we have to be people of prayer. If we want to have the designated standing that God has given to us in the society, that is how we need to preserve our position. It is through the place of prayer. And it is a very, very, very serious matter. It encompasses a lot of things that has to do with our life. See, if you look that verse, go down, see, Paul was now describing all the things that you know, make up that armor. We're not, you know, trying to go there too. But the essence of what I'm just trying to say is for us to know what we are up against. For us to know that it's a fight for life. It's a fight for our destiny. It's a fight for our future, what God has in place for us. It's not a joke. It's a really serious fight. See, when things happen in our homes, in among our children, You know, it's a battle which we need to fight. And one thing is very sure is that God has already given us
victory.
We are more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To add a little in the book of Luke chapter 11 from verse 9 to 11, you know, the Lord has told us we should ask that will be given, we should seek, and that we should knock, we shall open unto us. Whoever asks is given, whoever seeks, find, whoever knocks is open unto him. That if we, that we are being human, we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more can I give? Will you not give us the Holy Spirit when we ask of him? Meaning that whatever we ask of the Father, he will give to us. He didn't specify. That means anything we ask could be big, could be small. Another thing I want to mention is that most of the time we forget. The general belief is that once we talk about prayer, for a Christian, it's like, okay, kneel down, Father, I thank you. Father, do this for me. Do that for me. Do that. We keep asking. We forget that there are so many other things to pray for. You know, we can praise God, just kneel down there, praise God for 1 hour, just praising him. That's prayer too. You can ask for forgiveness, can pray prayer of deliverance, can pray supplication, so many, you know, different kinds of prayers as we all know. And then, the question is, will there ever be a time that God will not answer our prayers? Is it possible that we pray and God will not answer us? Of course, yes. Before our prayers is answered, what is the motive? What are we asking? What that thing you're asking for? What is in your heart? Why do you want it? For example, I'm 16 years and I want a car. And I'm fasting 100 days and asking God to give me a car at 16. I mean, that doesn't really make sense. If God refuses to give, it's not because he cannot give you, but because it's not necessary. You don't need it at that point, you know. Because the purpose for wanting that car is not right. It can never be right because you're not right for it. So such prayers God will not answer. Then if we look at the book of James chapter 4, to bottom that fact, he said that he warns against our worldliness. When we ask for things that are worldly, to consume it, to satisfy our whims and our caprice, God will not answer us. And from verse 1 to 3, he said, from whence come wars and fighting among you? Come then up hence, even of your lust that war in your members. Ye lust, ye had not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. We only lust, we fight, we steal, 45 figures, do a lot of things, just to have. We kill other people, because we want to have. Anybody that stands before you, what business you want to do, say, let's take him off. You know? Because of what? Because we want to have something. Even though God has said we should come, we should ask him that he will give to us. But because we are worldly, because our heart is far away from him, we don't even remember to ask. As a Christian, it's not only when you carry a gun and shoot somebody that you have killed. No. There are so many other ways of killing. When you lie, when you talk down another person, you slander, you know, that kind of thing. Just because we want to be favored in order to get what we want, you're killing. So that whatever prayer you're praying, will God answer? God will not answer. Look at verse 3. It says, ye ask and receive not.
Why? It
says, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. The purpose for what I'm asking for, if it's not right with God, God will not give it to me. That is why. For anything we are asking, things we ask. Let us ask, you know, in accordance with the word of God. Let us ask the things that God wishes us to ask for. And that is when we'll be able to receive answers. Sometimes I'm asking for, you know, some serious things, and I'm like, Father, I don't want my will, I want your will. If you know this is not what I deserve at this time, then let it come. But if you know this is your will for me, then let it work. And most of the time when I pray like that, it works out. Unless it is not yet God's time. Mm. So God will help us.
Amen.
To know the right thing to ask and to ask at the right time, according to the word of God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I wanted to also read to from us from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. We all know this this popular prayer. There have been so many books written about it. The Bible says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. So many times I've always wondered why, because if you read all these first chapter, first Chronicles from verse chapter 1 to like chapter 6, in fact, it's you just be reading about genealogy, who gave birth to who gave birth to what. But in the middle of that, God just puts the story of Jabez. And I think it's for us to know that his heart for us is answered prayers. God wants to answer our prayers. He delights in answering us. He delights in doing good things for his children. Jesus said, whatever you see me do, that's what the Father does. Bible says he went about doing good. That's the Father's heart, to do us good, to love on us, to heal, to provide for us more than enough, 12 baskets of fish and bread, when we have more than enough, you know. That's God's heart for us. So, but sometimes we have to pray. Bible says that all thou that answers prayer, unto you shall all men come. It's also recorded of the Israelites that it's until they called unto God. Bible says that God heard their groanings and he sent them a deliverer. If you are not crying out to God and we are seeking, I think it's today's devotional, or was it yesterday's devotional? He said, you are looking at the help of man rather than the help of God. You will not get anything from there. So I just want to join us. I thank everybody for contributing. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will reignite our prayer lives. And for those whose prayer lives are on fire, that the Lord will pour more fuel and will continue to be on fire for God. So let us just thank God for this time in his presence. And let's just thank him for his word. Let's just worship the name of the Lord. Let's just lift up his name on high. He's faithful. He's a God that answers prayers. We just talked about prayer. So let's just pray and thank God, because we know that he's calling us to be a house of prayer. This is a house of prayer. It is a house of answered prayer, not just prayer alone. Our God is with us to answer us mightily. Let's just thank him for all the prayers that he has answered in the past. He always answers us better than we prayed. I don't know if anybody has noticed, there's no prayer that you pray to God when he answers you, it's always far better than you prayed. Whatever it is, I can't count all the things I've asked God for. He answers me all the time better than I prayed for those things. He's a good father. Let's just thank him for everything that he has done for us, all the miracles, all the answered prayers. Let us thank him, because we know that even the ones that are yet to manifest, he has heard us, he has answered, he's perfecting that which concerneth us. Let us just worship the name of the Lord in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I just want us to pray one prayer point. Father, anything in my life that is hindering my prayer life, let it be rooted up in Jesus' name. Let us just pray that. Father, anything in my life that is hindering my prayer life, let it be rooted up. Any care of this world, any worry, any spending time on TV, on mobile phones, whatever is hindering my time with you, whatever is distracting me, Father, root it out. Lord, let my eyes be focused on you, Daddy. Daddy, anything, any relationship that is not adding more value to me spiritually, let it be removed from my life, Daddy, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Our Father and our God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you because you are a good, good Father. Thank you, because once again you are here with us to hear us, to answer us, and to speak to us. We appreciate you, Daddy. You don't have to, but you always do. Daddy, we say thank you. Daddy, we just say that, we just ask for mercy. Where we haven't prayed, where we haven't sought your face as we should have, Daddy, please forgive us. Please restore us back to the narrow path. Take us to that secret place where we find you all the time. Lord, let us not be distracted. In any way the enemy has distracted us, Lord, please bring us back. Open the eyes of our heart. Reveal yourself to us. Help us to begin to enjoy and look forward to our time of prayer with you. And most importantly, Daddy, let us hear from you. Let it not just be a one-way conversation. Let us always hear from you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.